What's good, y'all? It's A.H., one half of Young Black and Gifted, Sloppy Smooth. Now I mean Azariah, the database misfit, the firmament one. And y'all tuning into the best podcast right now. My man in Florida, Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. Don't touch that dial, we here.
Yo, Ant, what up? It's Hendrix, you know the vibes. We gon' keep it all the way unfiltered. Hottest podcast in the game. Yep, yep. Sinise Unfiltered. You rockin' with Sinise Unfiltered. 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 Sinise Unfiltered. Let's talk about sports and the politics. Let's talk about music, talk about life. If you ain't tuned in, then you out of it. A fresh, unfiltered perspective. Hottest podcast, no question. A fresh, unfiltered perspective. Hottest podcast, no question. Sinise Unfiltered.
What up, what up, what up? This your boy, Ant, Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you all do your 30 seconds walk in the place for autism awareness every day. It's greatly appreciated. At this time, I want to give my sincere thoughts and prayers to the family and friends of Biz Markie. Rest in peace, my brother. You were one of the great ones.
I want to. I like to introduce myself. My name is Biz Markie, and when I'm the human orchestra called Biz Markie, making music all the way is my specialty. When I go, I want to, girls get excited when they hear my lyrics.
Yes, y'all are to the like beat. You could either dance or just have a
radio, TV, and even well, check it. Back in the day before this began, he used to try to talk to this girl named Fran, the type of female with fly Gucci wear, with big drug jewelry and extensions in her hair. When Swan tried to kick it, she always fessed, talking about, baby, please, you work for UPS. Since he wasn't no type of big drug dealer, my man CJ Swan didn't appeal.
Started. Yo, beer's broken, but I call it the dude. Not cause it smell like dude, cause it's like the beat is the dude. So bring it down. One, two, and don't forget the three, and oh, what a relief it is for me for this as being. Being human orchestra, one man band of friends, funky. Goes around. What comes around goes around. What comes around goes around. What comes around goes around. Around.
Sitting here reminiscing back through high school. Whenever time I see your girl, you know that I drew. Daydreaming in the class, thinking what would I say when I saw you, but you never looked my way. It started freshman year and lasted straight through the 12th grade.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping pouring with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said, blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said, I was very amused. I started throwing bits, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't.
All right,
I
y'all
only have a friend.
Rest in peace, Biz. Y'all listen to this. Everybody, let's go. Let's go, let's go. Yo. You got what I need. But you say he just a friend. But you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you rest in peace, Biz. What up, what up, what up? It's your boy Ant. Welcome to the Sneeze Unfiltered Podcast. Thank you. I have a great guest with me today. He's coming back to the show. But before we start the show, I need all my Sneeze Unfiltered maniacs to get your asses up. And we're going to walk in place for autism awareness real quick for 30 seconds. 30 seconds out your day. That's all it takes. Autism awareness is very important to me. Autism Awareness Month is in April. And then people forget about it. We're going to keep going all year round for autism awareness. Shout out to Puzzle Life. Yo, my guest today, Mr. Voice of the Ghetto, man of morals, watch with his head up, chest out. Welcome back to the show, my man Poor Boy. What's going on, brother?
Man, not much, brother. Blessings, man. Good to be here with y'all today, man. Blessings. That's all.
Hey, I'm glad to have you, man. And for all who don't know, Poor Boy is a childhood friend, pretty much a brother to George Floyd. Rest in peace, Georgie. We had him on last year after this tragedy, and I want to have you back on here, you know, after, you know, everything that has happened. So, you know, it's been over a year since the murder of George, and I know when I talked to you, it was still fresh, you know what I'm saying? A lot of anger, a lot of hate, you know, a lot of frustration. Now you had time to sit back and you know, think about everything. Well, what are your thoughts right now?
Man, my thoughts right now, you know, we're getting a little justice. We are the justice process having all the way went through its full course. But I feel like this, like I said before, I feel like this going to be the change right here. This going to bring a new day to our judicial system, because not only that he's been indicted and he's been federally, he's been state prosecuted and been state time. He's been federally indicted, all four officers, and the federal system is taking control of the situation now.
Okay, that's what's up. So I know, you know, after, you know, back in, it was in May or June when they found him guilty on all counts, you know, I text you, you know, and we both were happy, right? But then I was thinking to myself, you know what though? He's been found guilty, but how many years is he going to get? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even going to say the officer's name, because he's not going to get nothing on my show. So I'm just going to say the officer got 22 and a half years, could have got 30. The prosecution pushed for 30. The judge didn't budge, gave him 22 and a half. What do you think about the judgment, and do you think that was enough?
I really don't think that was enough, but That was really, in my words, and I'm gonna say this, and I want everybody to pay attention to what I'm saying real closely. That was given by a judge, one of his peers, one of his co-workers in the same system that he's in, and you know, that's hired by the same state. So therefore, he probably wouldn't do too much time on that one. But he's been federally, him and other three officers have been federally indicted, and each one of them charges carry up to life.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go to the federal system now, and now they got to go through the whole process again. Yep. And on the federal statutory, on a 25-year sentence, which is the minimum on some of the charges, you're going to do 23 years.
Okay.
So he's looking at, I don't see him getting out of prison no time soon. So I don't want everybody to be in an uproar and feel like that. They hit him on the, yeah, they slapped him on the wrist there, and that wasn't a lot of time. But the federal system, the guidelines are already state. They're already set in print. And the time that he's getting, I don't see him getting out no time soon. I don't see him really being able to live no more of his life. So don't let that up, let that have a lot of us upset, because I don't know if everybody's being fully updated on what's going on. But the federal system, if he get 30 years, he's going to do 28.
Yeah. Okay.
And the lowest, like I said, the minimum sin, amount of time on most of his charges are 25 years.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that up for everybody. And one thing I want to touch on, what you just said, you don't want people to get upset with this, because you know, you and the rest of his family, you know, you are the ones that have the right to be upset. And if you, you know, want to be outraged and do shit, you guys are entitled to that because that's your brother. The outside world who don't even, who doesn't know George Floyd, they had no reason to act out and act stupid. If you guys are acting rational and civilized, there's no reason why everybody else shouldn't be acting the same way.
Yes, and that's why I want to clarify, because I don't want us to go in the uproar and get the, you know, tearing it up because of what the what his coworker gave.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say it like that. But I know that the sentencing guidelines for his charges, and they're being charged with four different charges, the highest is life.
Okay.
And one of them even carried the death penalty.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, here in a minute, you know, they're trying to calm both sides down, his side and our side. Yeah. You know, and I hate these two sides, but that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they just did that to calm his people down. And you notice they didn't too much mention about the federal system. They let us know that they were federally indicted.
Mm-hmm.
But too much mention about that because they're I guess, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I guess when it start going in effect, they're not going to be able to hide it when they start going to trial and going to court proceedings for that.
Yeah.
And not his side sums to going to uproar, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And like I said, them guidelines are already set in stone. They have to go by a sentencing guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And if they give him the minimum, his age with their age, because the feds did not only indict him, they indicted all parties that was involved, from the lookout to the people that came and helped hide some of the things that took place.
Okay. And one thing I hate, you know, because, you know, he's going to spend a good amount of time in jail, right? But one thing I hate, they want to, like when celebrities go to jail, whatever, these murderers and rapists and child molesters and shit, they put them in protective custody, you know? And I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. Put them out there with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Why should he be put up in protective custody? He did what he did. Let him be out there with everybody else, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, and like I was stating before, the federal system is different. The protective custody in the federal system is basically 24-hour lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing that amount of time in 24-hour lockdown will draw a mental strain on anybody.
Yeah, you got that right.
I don't know too many people that can do over 15 years by themselves, 23 hours a day and 1 hour outside their cell. Their mental stability can be strong.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are the things that they're not bringing to the light to satisfy the other parties.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he goes into population, we all knows how they're going to play out.
Yeah, yeah. So go ahead.
So the worst is yet to come.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
if they're beating the federal system, they win 92.8% of the time.
Jeez. Wow. So
you can do the math on that.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're not publicizing it.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to go Google it and see, but they have been federally indicted, all officers.
Okay. And that's my next thing I wanted to ask you, because I know I asked you before, you know, and some people might not have tuned in and listened, because I got new listeners and everything. Do you think the same sentence should apply to all of the other officers?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay.
Because everybody had the right to stop. Everybody had the right to intervene. Everybody had the right. It was no restraint in stopping any one of them other officers from grabbing him by the shoulder or grabbing him and pulling him. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
Where officers grab other officers and tell them to chill out, go to the car. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing I was going to say, too, you know, even his own peers have not defended him. You know, like he was totally wrong. And I want to bring something else up, you know, you know, I'm black and Italian, you know what I'm saying? And I have a broad audience. So to all my Caucasian listeners, this is not, I'm not trying to be racial with this right here, but, you know, in 2015, because Judge Mathis had posted this, in 2015, a guy named Lonnie Pebley in Colorado shot at a police officer, right? He got 736 years for shooting at a police officer, okay? Now, this man deliberately killed Georgie in front of the whole world, you know, and he gets the sentence here, you know? And one thing, like I said, again, I'm not trying to make this a racial thing, but we got to use our common sense too, right? Now, again, his peers have not defended his actions. He was totally wrong. But you have people who will sit here and try to defend this officer, you know, and there's no disrespect, you know. They're saying, you know, that Georgie had drugs in this system and he was using counterfeit money. I don't give a fuck if he was full of drugs and he had $1 million worth of counterfeit money. What happened to him was unacceptable. And for anybody to sit here and try to defend that and say that officer was right in any circumstance, if you are a Caucasian person defending that, to me, you're a fucking racist, point blank, period.
And that's true. Because if that was the case, everybody that used drugs should be killed in their eyes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, if that was a black officer and did that to a Caucasian guy, you knew what the fuck would have happened. The sentence he would have got.
So, most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Another thing I want to ask you. Stupid ass Trump. So a few weeks ago, there was a mural in Toledo, Ohio of George Floyd. They got struck by lightning. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yes, I heard about it.
And Trump's comments, it was an act of God. What do you have to say about that?
That shows Trump's true feelings. That shows why nothing was really went on when Trump was in office. That shows why the process and everything that took place while Trump was in control of our country was going the way it was going. We got to remember who Donald Trump is and what he stands for. You have to remember when Donald Trump was in control of our country, you know, the Caucasians, some of the Caucasian people basically took over the Capitol. Yeah. We have never seen that in the history of this country.
Mm-hmm.
We have never seen a president in the history of this country say, if I lose, I don't know if I leave the White House.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things that went on with Donald Trump don't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise anybody else in this country that's for righteous.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And there are also... Oh, go ahead, brother.
That's probably why Donald Trump is going through the things he's going through right now for us with the judicial system himself.
Absolutely. 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 So also, I want your comments on this too. There was also a statue put outside in Brooklyn, and that was also vandalized, you know, a few weeks ago. What are your thoughts on that also?
The same thing, like, I'm not understanding how all the statues of anything that's supporting the black movement or supporting change in this country, because that's basically what Georgie's whole situation is. It's the landmark of change in this country. Mm-hmm. But why all them things being vandalized? Why is all those things being basically tore up or anything done to him? And when you have in Augusta, Georgia, you have a statue of a slave master, a slave trade leader statue up, and they have 24-hour surveillance around that statue.
Yeah,
they have signs saying up, if anybody touched that statue, they will be federally prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not understanding how you could protect those things and those statues and murals, and Georgia's statue and mural does not get the same treatment.
Exactly, brother. Exactly. And again, it just shows you how the system is. You know what I'm saying? Like, and one thing, like, to me, I think just crazy, like, because I'm here in Orlando, Florida, right? So, to me, and this is just my opinion, like, if there is a law or some regulation in Orlando, Florida, in Orange County, right? If I go to Kissimmee, Florida, where it's Osceola County, it should be the same laws and regulations. You know, I'll give you a little story. About 10 years ago, I got pulled over, and I didn't have a valid license. It was suspended. So that was my third time. So I got 30 days in jail because of a license, right? At that same time, and I can't remember the player's name, but at the same time, there was a player for the Cleveland Browns who was in Miami who did not have a license at all, was driving drunk, and this guy walked across the street, and he hit and killed him. Now, the guy walked in front of him, you know what I'm saying, but he still was driving drunk with no valid license, and this man got 2 weeks in jail. So how the fuck am I going to have 30 days for no license? This guy hit and killed somebody, and he gets 2 weeks. To me, the same laws and regulations in California should be the same damn laws in Florida, New York, Vermont, Ohio. It should be the same laws everywhere. It shouldn't be nothing different. That's just me.
And you know, you're absolutely right. But we also have to remember, and you know, these are things that we don't want to face, you know, the reality of. And these are things, the situation with Georgia that I have been awoken to that I wouldn't, me, myself, and a lot of us as black males, African-American males, and Hispanic males, you know, the minority races, we don't pay attention to because we're too busy trying to survive. But you got to look at half of these states are racial Caucasian states.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're in Florida and that happened. You have to remember, I think a couple of presidential elections ago, they wouldn't let the elections go through in Florida. They were steady recounting them. You know, those are acts showing you what's going on in these states. Look at everybody like Atlanta, like Georgia. I mean, everybody looks at, since Atlanta's in Georgia, it's a predominantly black state.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But no, Georgia is one of the states that's still caught up in the racial system of this country.
Yeah. Exactly.
Florida is one of the states that's still caught up in the racial system of this country. Out here where I live in Texas, it's also one of the states that are still caught up in the racial system of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I say it? The people that's not for righteousness, you know, the racist people, and I'm gonna say it like that because I want to know that I'm not racist, but I'm speaking of what it is. Mm-hmm. These are things that's set in stone that we can't change, that we're trying to change.
Yeah.
You know, but these are states that won't get their laws into the righteous laws because they still want to be on the racial system. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm not losing y'all, but, you know, I'm trying to get
facts,
people
bro,
to...
That's facts.
A lot of these states, they don't want to come together and follow by all the laws because they still want to have their racial acts in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in Texas, right here now, when Joe Biden was going against Donald Trump, they literally, a category of racial Confederate civilians literally ran this man presidential bus out of our state.
Yeah, yeah,
they
heard about that.
These
yeah.
people stopped. Like, these are acts that shouldn't even be going on in the land of the free.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are acts showing you that racism still exists.
Yeah.
The racism still exists strong.
Yeah, it does. My best friend, he lives in Houston. And in Texas, you can just walk around with a gun like nothing, right?
Yeah, they just passed a law to where if you don't have a felony, you can have a gun.
And you can just walk around with it on your damn shoulder like nothing.
Yes.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Turning into the Wild Wild West. We not even seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, my brother's situation, it woke me up to a lot of things. Everybody talks about Chicago. I went to Chicago and spoke with them. I spent the whole weekend out there, me and Steven. In Chicago, feeding the homeless, talking to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody say how bad Chicago is. But Stinson, check this out. Chicago is like that because what they don't know is within a year's time, them kids in Chicago or the kids or the homeless or whoever it may be, there were four U-Haul trucks found. Each truck contained over 700 guns. Wow. One truck had 300 handguns and 400 assault rifles. Were just found, unattended.
Wow.
Now just think, you left a truck like that on east side, north, south, and west, and east of Chicago. That's 2,800 guns unattended.
Mm-hmm.
That's into the streets, into the urban areas of Chicago. What do you expect to get out of that?
Yeah, they want us to kill each other.
It's not, and then the schools, them kids, the minority schools, them kids are literally two kids to one book.
Wow.
They don't have the supplies they need. It's like they putting them in a system to where they can't win.
Mm-hmm. That's just crazy, man.
These are facts. Like, the things I'm telling you are facts. It's like we're being put in situations to where we're forced to live like savages. We're forced to resort to things to survive that's going to get us either in prison or make us. And basically, when you're in prison, you're a part of their army because you're going to cook clean. Mm-hmm. You're going to grow food. You're going to do everything that they need you to do for their benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, man, it's like I don't even know where we go from here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we talk about Chicago. I'm from Rochester, New York. It's freaking bad up there also. But like you said, they put us in these situations where they want us to lose, you know, and something has to be done. You know what I'm saying? Something has to be done. You know, this past year, I know you and Steven Jackson, y'all been out there a lot all over the state, like all over the country, like you said. What are some of the things you have done that you could let us know?
Basically, we go, we feed the kids, we go talk to the kids. I have been in juvenile systems, and you know, Steve, sometimes we're not able to work together,
mm-hmm.
because he has his other things going just as well as I have mine going, but we communicate on a regular.
Mm-hmm.
But I have went and fed the kids. I went to juveniles. I went and had book drives where we passing out books, where we've talked to the kids. I have been in so many juvenile systems, you know, and I only been able to do that because we have people of minority that want us to reach out and talk to the kids and let them hear our side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I have in my neighborhood, you know, I have had local basketball games, fundraisers. We have been coming up with blueprints trying to stop them from killing each other. I started my own campaign, Head Up, Chest Out, you know, basically to stop the violence between the young black men and the young Hispanic men, the minorities of this country. I've been doing so much. If I see somebody else that's on the same movement as me, I jump on their bandwagon and try to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But my main majority lately here has been talking to these youngsters, trying to get them to stop controlling our own numbers, for us to stop killing each other.
Yeah.
You know, because we're killing off our own race.
Exactly. And I want to commend you for that because, you know, that's something I think that's very important. A lot of people just don't understand, like, if you have, like, these kids you're talking to, if they just feel... Because a lot of these kids probably feel like nobody cares about them. They don't have anyone. And you're going out there doing your part, you know. That's a huge impact. Because if kids can see that there's somebody there that cares and is willing to help them and put them in the right direction and not go backwards but go forward, that's gonna help them a lot in the future. And that's going to open their eyes a lot. You know what I'm saying? And again, I can't say how much I commend you for this. You know what I'm saying? But if everybody, you know, could do this and help out in their own communities, man, I think a lot of this shit could stop. You know, just showing that somebody cares. You know what I'm saying? That goes a long way, man.
Man, you'll be surprised, man. You will be surprised how them kids react once you set them down and you break the system down to them. You know, nobody does that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody comes to them and enlighten them on what's going on. Nobody shows them, you know, because I talk to a lot of kids. I didn't talk to kids that have 10 to 15 years already. Damn. Kids that have life already.
Wow.
You know, and they ain't number 14 years old, 15 years old. Like, I don't know if y'all are aware, we have some of our kids, our anointed kids, that have life sentences, and they haven't even turned 16. They haven't even got their adult life.
That's crazy.
And they done took their life away from these kids. And it's like it's all because they haven't been enlightened on how they corrupting our race, how they corrupting, you know what I'm saying, the minority system by the things they're doing. They don't know how deep it gets.
Yeah.
And us who have these platforms, us who are able, the so-called celebrities and all us who are influenced to these kids, they'll listen to us. All we have to do is take time out to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they be wanting.
Yeah.
That's all they be wanting. They just be wanting to feel loved.
Yeah.
Half of them already have natural knowledge, natural sense. How you know, the minority is more, how can I say, we catch on quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, minority are more athletic. We are more, we just have a gift that naturally comes with us. And a lot of them kids don't know what they can do, how they can change the world if they change their life at a young age.
Definitely. That's 100
right
there.
If we stop them now at these young ages, at this junior high, this high school level, if we teach them a better way than the gang way, you know, the way that the music teach them, man, we would come out on top a lot better.
Absolutely.
Because these kids going to be our future. They're going to be our president. Some of the ones that you go in there and save and talk to and where they could change their life and see a bigger picture, they're going to be the ones that's going to raise our kids. These kids are going to be the kids that our kids are going to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have they're going to have this country in their hand in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if we don't reach out and try to talk to them now, we're basically giving our kids, we're not giving our kids a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I done talked to a lot of them, and when I be talking to them and I be, you know, giving them knowledge on the things that I have learned, because I came from that same background. You know, I have did time in the system and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of things that I have learned since what happened to my brother, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. All I came up in the ghettos, all we came up was trying to survive and get out.
Yeah.
But we didn't know it was a lot of other ways that we can get out. You know, and like I say, I don't like drawing no line. I don't want to come off as a racist. But the Caucasian people, they're literally grabbing their kids at a young age. I have seen compounds where it's 2,500, 3,000 Caucasian kids at these new so-called charter schools, these new so-called private schools, where they're installing this racism in these kids.
Yeah, bruh. Let me tell you something real quick. While you bring that up. When my kids were in first grade, I think it was kindergarten or first grade, there was this one teacher, because my kids had went to a charter school at first. There was this one teacher that my son was like, she was always calling us, saying, my son's doing this, my son's doing that. And like you said, you know your kid, you know what I'm saying? You know what your kid would do and what he won't do. So I remember there was a field day. And I went to the field day, and I heard the teacher talking. And you know, if it's a new teacher, you know, and the parents are coming, usually the teacher will, hey, introduce themselves, say hi, whatever. She would just walk right past me, didn't speak to me at all, nothing, right? Then I found out she's like from the same hometown I am in New York. I was like, hey, you're from Rochester too? She's like, yeah. And then she just kept it moving, didn't say nothing to me, right? Didn't say nothing. So field day was over, so the kids are going back in the classroom. So, you know, my son's clothes were wet, so I went to go get a plastic bag. So I look in the classroom, I see everybody with fucking popsicles. My son doesn't have a popsicle, right? And he has like his head down. So I'm like, what's going on, Makai? She's like, oh, well, you know, she's not giving me a popsicle. So I'm like, why is it that everybody else has one and he doesn't have one? Oh, his clothes were wet. I'm like, but I have his clothes, so what are you talking about right now? So I just happened to go on Facebook and put this teacher's name in the search, right? When I look it up, this chick in her profile picture, her and her friends with a fucking Confederate flag in the background. You know what I'm saying? So
just thinking that was one of us.
Yeah. So exactly.
I would be in trouble for holding a power fist.
Yeah. And these other people were hiring to look over our kids and teach them supposedly the right way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that too, because just think, when the African American or the Hispanic employee applies for these jobs, they run an intense background check on them.
Yep.
They run a background check. If they sense anything pro-black or pro-Hispanic, you know, and I would say pro-Asian, but they're getting their way in here.
Yeah.
They're getting their way for other reasons, you know, and I have nothing against them. You know, the situation, like I said, is causing me to speak up for mine and the minority.
Yeah.
Yep. But your application is not going to be ran the same as a Caucasian applicant.
Yeah.
These are facts.
Yeah.
They're going to run through a whole system deeper than they're going to run there.
Yeah. I also saw, before I got on the phone with you, and apologize because I can't remember the state, but I just saw there was some state that just passed that they're no longer in the history textbooks. They're no longer going to cover Martin Luther King Jr. at all.
And how could that even be?
Exactly.
That's been a part of history since I was a kid.
Matter of fact, Martin Luther King and the Native Americans, they're choosing to keep them out of the history books.
Like, why would that even be a subject brought up to take out of the history books?
Yeah.
That's part of history.
A big part of history.
That's part of history for half of the classroom sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
No. Out of all the things that you would choose to argue about or quarrel about in the history, why would that be one of the chosen things?
Yeah. Like I said, man, I'm over here, you know, it's Kissimmee, Florida, I'm in, so it's called Osceola County. And about 4 years ago, you know, for Black History Month, my sons, you know, they had to do a report. So my one son put Malcolm X. Bro, let me tell you something. Osceola County's pretty big, okay? There's a lot of libraries. There was one book on Malcolm X in all the whole fucking county. Yeah, we went out and bought the book. We actually went up and bought the autobiography. We went out and bought that because the book, they couldn't find the book anywhere. They had one book, but nobody knew where it was.
And that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that goes back to this though, Anthony. Check this out. In Florida, how many successful Black people are out there? How many wealthy Black people are out there? What would it take? Like, what problem, what harm would it take for that $1,000 that you go out and spend in that restaurant to spend that $1,000 on Black history books and donate them to the library?
Exactly, yeah. But absolutely.
See, that's where we come in at. That's why I be saying a lot of us, as the minority, we need to do better. We need to do better, because I'm glad you brought that up, because it wouldn't take nothing. I know there are donation stations where people could donate things where you know, to enlighten the youth, to help the youth. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't take to go buy them books and donate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Once that was recognized, once that was seen, you know, you wasn't the first person to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you probably wouldn't buy yourself.
Yep.
See, those are the things we got to stop overlooking.
Yeah.
See, you know, it ain't all their fault, because they're only going to do what we allow them to do to us. If we don't stand up as people, as leaders, as Black kings and queens, and, you know, if we don't stand up and help our own race and our own culture, we can't really be mad at nobody else for not helping us.
That's a great fucking point too. That's a great point. Absolutely. We gotta do more.
Just straight up.
You know, there was, not to go off topic, but there was a person I had on my podcast, I'm not going to say names, but there was a person I had on my podcast a few months ago, you know, young sister on, and she was on one of these, you know, shows where you got to get voted to go on to the next week and this and that and the other, you know, and one thing me and her talked about, you know, we will sit here and say, oh man, well damn, no black people on this show, they didn't vote this person, but are we out there voting, helping out? You know, we can't sit here and complain about our people moving forward in these shows as contestants if we don't support them and help them out, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, that, and that's the main thing. It's like they're not going to, if they see that we're not sticking together or we're not standing up for ourselves, how can we even ask them to stand up for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, like I said, a lot of shit has changed, you know, over this past year, you know. Where do we go from here? What are your future plans, and how do we move forward?
Well, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I feel like the more cities and more states that I reach out to, the more areas, the more buildings, the more juveniles, more places I step in and give my word out. If I could pick up 3-4 followers out of each place, I'm making progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that.
And I feel that we all, you know, shit. In our leisure time, take time out to make a better future for our kids.
Yeah.
Whether it's sharing things, donating things, you know, we gotta make progress. We gotta make some type of attempt if we want any type of progression.
Facts. And like I always say, together we are stronger and unstoppable.
For real. And that's the truth.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, my brother, I want to thank you once again for coming on. It's been a pleasure. You know what I'm saying? You got to make your way down here to Florida, man.
Yeah. I really literally just left there like 2 months ago in Miami.
Oh, yeah? Okay. All right. But yeah, man, like I said, brother, you know, you welcome back anytime. You know, you want to chop it up, hit me up. You down here, hit me up, brother.
Yeah, already, man. I appreciate you for letting me be able to spread my word. And I appreciate, you know what I'm saying, you for standing with the movement and supporting, because you have been supporting and been there for us, you know, and you are highly appreciated.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. You know, and like I said, you know, the first time I hit you up, you know, after Jody's passing, there were a lot of people that will, I knew George Floyd, but when I saw you with Steven Jackson, I knew you were a real brother, and you weren't gonna bullshit, you were gonna tell the real shit, and that's why I had to have you on, man, and you're gonna give the real. So again, I commend you for everything you're doing. Keep doing great, man. Keep doing great. You're a good role model for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I'm going to do everything head up, chest back.
No doubt. Yep. All right, man. We're going to keep saying his name, George Floyd. Rest in peace, brother. I know everybody misses you down here. We're going to keep fighting for you, and there will be justice. This has been Sneeze Unfiltered. My man, Poor Boy, we out.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, brother. Once again, you have tuned in to Sneeze Unfiltered Podcast. I would like to thank Poor Boy once again for stopping through. I want y'all to reach out to my man. Check out his page, Poor Boy_RTG. That's POBOY_RTG. And also check out his foundation, hashtag Head Up, Chest Out. Rest in peace, Georgie.
The time is now. We not asking, we demanding. Wake up, ghetto. Can't you see what's really going on right before our face? The time is now, right before our eyes. Modern day lynching is taking place. My brother was killed right before my eyes. 8 minutes and 47 seconds changed the whole outlook of life for me. And then you tell me you don't know what to charge him with. Well, hey, don't charge him. Let him go. Drop them off at the nearest ghetto. I won't stop till justice is served. We'll see what they got going on then. And then you complain and you talk about Our black youth, black on black crime. How they tearing up they cities and they ghettos. But you never tell the other side of the coin how you got them strapped and lost in they ghetto. Not having the funds, not having the things they need to function on a normal day basis. Forced to live like savages. The time is now. We must stand shoulder to shoulder. We must look at our oppressors eye to eye, toe to toe. Racism must end today. And you wonder why they mad and they tan and burning up buildings. Look at the circumstances, look at the situations. You being stingy with the occupations. Ooh, make me wanna go get the cannon and just stand outside on the front porch of the racist oppressors in this country and let it blow. And you wonder why me and Stack jumping on plane to plane. We trying to get everybody in the world to open their eyes and see what's going on. What happened to Georgie, man? Oh, Georgie, I'ma miss you, baby. I heard you cry. You the reason why I'm standing how I'm standing right now. Four men, eight knees. For my brother, the pain runs deep. And then you got people that's turning into a Hollywood scene. But that's alright, America. They done played a little too long. It's time to change the song. Ooh, you know what I wanna say and I can't. Until then, I'm just gonna fill up their tank with a bunch of knowledge, a bunch of love, a bunch of guidance. My pain is real. And you wonder why I'm on the TV screen screaming justice for George Floyd. See, I don't know about you, but I felt helpless that day. And the crazy thing about it all, y'all ain't stopped, y'all steady going. You want the blood to hit the street and start pouring. We need righteous and equality right now. Or we gonna turn and burn this whole country down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you gonna say it's gonna be a lot of casualties and a lot of death. Well, hey, what else do we got left? You're killing us right in front of our own kids. And you expect us to abide by the laws and the things that you got in this country? I don't know about you, but where I'm from, it's an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They murdered Georgia. So what else you expect us to do? Then you come back and you murder Breonna Taylor and shoot Rashard in his back. All of this, we ain't even start talking about how you brought crack, cocaine to the black neighborhoods and control the population for years. We've been letting y'all get away with all these strange acts, moves and motives of quills. See, in the ghetto, we don't call the police. See, it's only two ways to look at this. The wrong way and the righteous way. Last I checked, you couldn't just run around and kill people at free will. If that was the case, we done marched up to all the city halls, all the main roads and the black boulevards. Well, let's rewind this back. Y'all brought us here to work and to build the country up. See, y'all used us up, abused us up, and put us on the back line. But you want to complain and get the whine and we get the pop in that eye. But the time is now. I need everybody to stand tall and hold your power fist. I'm black and I'm proud, but now I ain't racist. I love all people, shape, size, color, and faces. See, it's love for all. Who got love for all? I'm just trying to understand when we all gon' love all. Instead of designing laws to help the racists and the crooked cops, and then you complain when the bodies start to drop. Yeah, you used to tell us that we can get the laws changed next September, but since Floyd died, we done got several laws changed. Man, don't that got me wondering, who's the pretender? Who's telling lies and who's telling the truth? Sometimes they say the truth hurts, but the truth is real. And I'm not understanding how this country gonna let four laws kill my brother. And it's taking you all day to bring them to justice. And you wondering why we tearing up the public. We getting rowdy in public places. We looting and tearing down buildings. Cause the pain is real. The blood runs deep, the tears run long. Everybody need to come together before we be knocking at your mama home. You ask me in Stack 5 to slow down and get off your toes. Well, I need to see them four police officers brought to justice on TV like they did when they took my brother's life. On them streets of Minnesota in front of everybody. But I ain't seen nothing on TV yet. You humiliated him on national TV. The whole world saw how they killed him. Let the whole world see how they go to jail and face the charges for what they did. Let the world see how they been held accountable for their actions. No wrong is better than another wrong. Racism is nowhere near righteous. George Floyd was a humble brother, was a man of change. George Floyd is the face of the new America. I will stand with the people that's for righteousness, against racism. I would die for my people. I would die for my kids to have a better life. For my grandkids to have a better life. I would die for a righteous cause for my people. We are not the oppressor. We are not our own enemies. The enemies are the racist people that uphold the racist laws. Love for all who love for all. Stop killing your own black brothers. Love one another. I am the ghost of George Floyd. Ghetto to ghetto, project to project, neighborhood to neighborhood. We just want our righteous due in this country. Justice for Breonna Taylor. Hey ghetto, if they take us away, subtract the black people out of everything that goes on in this country and the daily activities, what will we have? Nothing. This country cannot function. This country cannot be together. This country cannot move without the black people, without black lives. Black lives does matter. All lives matter. Justice for Rashard Brooks. Justice for all. Stand for something before you fall for anything. Justice for George Floyd. We need all black people to stand together, vote. Your vote means something. 2020, we need the ghetto vote. Your vote matters. Talk to your black brothers. Please stop the violence. Justice for Colin Kaepernick. To all the black men who stood for causes. Let's stand shoulder to shoulder, hand to hand. Kyrie Irving, LeBron James. We stand for change. Kneel for Floyd. Power fist for Floyd. Ghetto, we're not asking you to kill, we're asking you to kneel. Kneel for righteousness. We're not satisfied with the position of our country. Kneel with your brothers. If you wasn't down, it's time to be down. If you wasn't with it, it's time to be with it. Kaepernick said, take a knee. But he say, take a knee on the black man's neck. Hey, Kaepernick. I feel you, my brother. Strong black man. So the cops who's supposed to protect us and do something, now they killing us. They even got their own gang. I'm trying to understand how y'all go against the gangs in the city streets and ghettos. Officers got their own gangs. They got their own tattoos, their own structures. The cops is going out and they're taking hits at civilians. And this the country we living in. This the people we got to protect us. I'm trying to understand, huh? The crazy thoughts of the system they put us in. So why you can't hit them with the RICO Act? Oh, I forgot, that's just an act. That's just a law that's only made for the less fortunate and the underprivileged. And Donald Trump, steady walking, holding that Bible, lying and stunting and fronting, don't care about the casualties. In my ghetto, he never seen, never felt the things. Have you ever been between two pissed off black mans with AKs, mad cause they brother just took his last breath? Why the police that killed Breonna Taylor is not in jail? Why is the police chief in the police department where Breonna Taylor was killed out partying the weekend after he had a serious situation on his force? Hey, ghetto! Say his name. George Floyd. I can't breathe. No justice. No peace. They say, Poe, now you can't say that. You can't do this. Well, how the fuck you think I'm supposed to act when I'm this pissed? I'm going from town to town, city to city, ghetto to ghetto. Cause we gonna come together. George Floyd was a good, nice, hell of a fella. Stack Five, the face of change. Poe Boy, the face of change. Tamika Mallory, Rasheed Wallace, face of change. The time is now, we not asking, we demanding. Ghetto!
Thanks for tuning into Sinise Unfiltered Podcast with your host, Anthony Sinise. Tune in again for more unfiltered discussions. Love, live life, and remember, all lives matter.